First reading is taken from 1 Samuel 17, 32 to 45 and 48 to 50. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine would be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine," Saul said to David. "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with swords and spear and javelins, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him.
The second reading is taken from Isaiah 58, 1-4 and 6-9. "Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.'"
And the third reading is from Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
So today is a special occasion. It's the occasion of William's baptism, and we've got lots of family and friends joining in. It's also Freedom Sunday, and the 24th of September is a day where everybody, a lot of people in churches throughout the world, come together to think about issues of freedom and justice. And actually, it fits a baptism service to a certain extent, because with baptism, we've got all sorts of symbolism that means that we're turning from darkness to light, that we're being washed clean with the waters of baptism. And freedom is about freedom from something to something else. Now, when I say slavery, picture a slave. You probably are thinking of the kind of slave that the abolition of slavery in 1833 applied to, the kind of slaves that were taken across mainly from Africa to different parts of Europe and to the Americas. You could say that, well, slavery has already been abolished, so why are we thinking about freedom from slavery? But actually, if you listen to the news, you'll realize that slavery is more prevalent today than ever. We call it modern slavery because it comes in all different faces and guises. It includes sex trafficking and violence. It includes cybersex. It includes property grabbing, police abuse of power, and also forced labor. You'll know that William Wilberforce fought for the abolition of slavery for decades. Who's taking up the fight for or against modern slavery today? This is a big deal. So I want you to think about the word impossible. Sometimes we do face impossible situations. Sometimes in our own lives, we've got things such as financial problems, or perhaps depression, maybe things that feel too big for us to manage. I'm going to use the story of David and Goliath metaphorically now, giants in our lives. But there's also things in the public domain, aren't there? Things such as terrorism, things such as possibly Brexit, things perhaps such as West Tay, things such as slavery, which we know are things that need to be addressed. And but they seem so big, we seem so impotent and small to deal with them. David was in that situation, wasn't he? He arrived on the scene, there was this massive giant, all he could see, and I don't think he had read the newspapers because he wasn't feeling intimidated himself. All he could see was this Philistine standing up and challenging the people of Israel, the Israelite army doing nothing, and Saul, their king, not sure what he should do. I mean, we know that kind of situation. However, David thought, I've got some experience. I've got not experience of a Philistine, a giant, but I've got experience that God can defeat massive problems and things. So he knew that God sorted out the lion. He knew that God sorted out the bear when he was a shepherd boy. And so he thought, you know what? I'm going to say, I'll go, because God is still with me. So off he went to the king. The king, what can he do? He has a boy. But he says, okay, have a go. So he goes into the dressing room, tries on the armor, tries on the helmet, doesn't quite fit. He says, no, thank you very much. I'm not used to this stuff. I'll go with what I usually go with. And that's my little sling. And he polishes up. No, he probably didn't. He probably just picked up 5 stones. And off he went to fight and defeat this Philistine. The point is, and this is what David said, that he didn't come with might and with power. He says, I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And that day, the Philistine, as you know, was no more. That day, the Israelites defeated the army of the Philistines. So that's a story that happened in a certain place in a certain time, which you could say is no longer what we're facing today. I want to talk about the giant of modern slavery. So what are the facts? More than 45 million people are held in slavery today. 1 in 4 slaves are children. There are over 4 million in the global sex trafficking industry. And the trafficking of human people generates about $150 billion a year. Huge numbers of people are affected. But I don't know if you're anything like me, I look at those figures and I think, okay, they're huge figures. What does that mean? What I respond better to is personal stories. And so I'm going to tell you 3 stories today. I'm going to tell you 1 about something that happened in the UK. I'm going to tell you 2 about things that have been going on in Cambodia. And I want to remind us that modern slavery doesn't just happen out there. I read a newspaper article a couple of weeks ago that was saying that actually Anglicans in parishes throughout the country can help detect and alert people to slavery in their area. So the first story I'm going to tell you about is about a person called, or a family actually, called the Rooneys. You might know, because it was only a week or so ago, that the Rooneys, 11 of them, were convicted for keeping people in slavery as workers for them. So they mainly lived in caravans, but they were living in appalling squalor. They weren't paid properly. We know that there were at least 18 men, but probably more than that over a period of time. They didn't get any medical attention when they were ill, and basically they lived like that in order to survive. But because of the combined efforts of the people in that community, of the police, of the law courts, those men are now free. The 11 people, the Rooney family, who are living in luxury, lavish lifestyles, have been convicted. And the people who are damaged are receiving the care they need. That's a fantastic story of freedom. Now I want to introduce you to 2 friends of mine. So this is Mark and Shirley. Well, that isn't, but Mark and Shirley will come up. Yes, Mark and Shirley. And they are people who live just around the corner from me. They're some of the first people my family and I met when we came from Zimbabwe to UK about 18 years ago. Mark is a geek. He's a computer boffin, and he spends a lot of time fiddling around on computer software as well as the hardware. Shirley is as soft and gentle as they come. In about 2001, not in about, in 2001, Shirley and Mark went to Cambodia to start as missionaries with OMF in Cambodia. They had to learn the language, and they went and stayed in Phnom Penh, which is the capital. Now, Mark, I'll tell you a bit more about Mark first. So Mark, and I've written it up because I'll never remember the title. Mark is, he lectured at the University of Essex University, in electronic systems engineering and telecommunication system design. So this picture is actually not of him in Essex, it's of him when he went across to Cambodia lecturing a group of telecom students. Actually, they weren't students, they were teachers of students in telecommunication. It's at a university called NPIC, but he also lectures at the Royal University of Phnom Penh. So part of his role is using his skills as a lecturer. But what isn't in that picture, what is a little bit clandestine, is that he is involved in supporting and mentoring a person from International Justice Mission. I haven't told you about International Justice Mission, I forgot about that slide. But International Justice Mission works alongside the police, the law courts, social workers, to free people from slavery. And Mark works with this young Cambodian man to help him in forensic exploration of the internet to find out the gangs that are involved in sex trafficking in particular, and to release those people from the bondage that they find themselves in. Now, IJM, International Justice Mission, I want to tell you a bit about them before I tell you about their strategy. I chose them because they live down the road. Their UK headquarters are down the road in Witham. That's where they're based. Obviously, they're based in lots of different countries around the world as well. I like the organization because it works both with the macro, the strategy, the big pictures, sorting out structures in society, as well as with individuals. It cares for the small people as well as the big systems. And I also like IJM because they say we can't do it on our own. We need you to pray. We need you to support the work that we do. And so they work together with the people of God in these different countries to bring about justice. And they have these four things that they do. One, rescue the people from whatever it is they're caught in. In this particular case that Mark works with, it's the sex trafficking. Two, to restore them to their community. And they need to do that by putting them through a counseling and a care program. The third thing is to restrain those perpetrators. So have them convicted and put in whatever jail or whatever sentence they get. The point is that if they're still out there, they'll do the same thing again. They call this turning off the tap. It's all very well trying to catch the drips if the tap's leaking, but actually dealing with the problem on a big scale means taking those people away from the situation where they're perpetrating violence. And finally, they help lawyers in the country to represent these people. And they get them, as I say, convicted, and these brothels shut down. So that's Mark's work. I want to tell you a bit about Shirley's work. So Shirley is involved with counseling, as I said. This is a picture of her with a group of Christian counselors who are in a training center. It's about 50 Khmer and 50% foreigners. Their desire is to provide government-recognized training courses for local Khmer people to become counselors, but also for people who are working there from different countries to support the local people in counseling. Shirley helps with policies, Shirley helps with training, and Shirley is trying to help with getting this course recognized by the university and the government. So that's most of her work. Now, I want to mention this person called Saron Sek. He's a Cambodian. He's the first Cambodian who was on the staff of IJM. He's the first legal member of the staff. He's a lawyer. He's coming to England, he's coming to London, in fact, for the 4th of November. And there's going to be a big prayer gathering at a massive church there. Some of you will know it, St. Paul's Hammersmith, just by the Hammersmith Apollo. And they're going to draw people from all parts of the country. And he's telling the story of the good news of what's happened in Cambodia. Because the truth is that they have had so much success with working with those children who've been exploited through sex trafficking, that they're now turning their attention to the labour exploitation and to people, say, who are on the Thai, who've been taken from Cambodia and who are on Thai fishing boats, for example. And this is what he says. Cambodia has changed because of prayer. The people of Cambodia used to be afraid, but now it's the criminals who are afraid. It was and it is God's work, God's direction, God's promise. We stand in the midst of monumental change. Isn't that amazing? A good story about people who have been set free and people who have partnered, those people working to free children from this exploitation. So, the reason why I'm talking about this is not just because I think it's important. It's because I think God thinks it's important. Because God hates oppression. He hates injustice. He loves freedom. And that's why we had that amazing reading from Isaiah. And this is just a little pictorial image, I suppose, of that reading. It's about fasting. And Isaiah the prophet is saying to the people who are fasting, the kind of fasting that I've chosen, he says, isn't just to look after yourselves whilst carrying on with your exploitation. It's to loose the chains of injustice. It's to untie the cords of the yoke. It's to set the oppressed free and break all the burdens that they're carrying. So freedom, breaking loose and undoing those complex chains and webs of exploitation. On your way out, I'm going to give you, or somebody at the door will give you, a little leaflet which explains a bit about their work. But the question that we are left with, really, is what is it that I can do? And so I want to think of these four things as four pebbles, four stones, just like David had those four stones. The one is to keep watch in your neighborhood. Keep watch for people who look terrified, who won't respond, or maybe who you never see, who maybe are a nanny in somebody's house, or a holiday let where there seem to be men coming and going all hours of the day. Keep watch when you think there's something suspicious. And if you do think that there might be something that needs investigating, then there's a number that you can phone. You can just phone your local 101, the police, not an emergency number, but the information number. But there's also a modern slavery helpline that you can go to, and there's details in here as well. The second thing is to sign up to pray. Now, you can get monthly prayer letters by email, but you can also just get a once every quarter newsletter about the work of International Justice Mission. This piece of paper will be at the back for tea afterwards. You can, well, it's not for tea, it's with tea. You can sign up on it if you want to receive those newsletters. Give. Again, there's details in here if you want to give to the work of IJM. And campaign. You can join them in campaigning, but you can also do your own campaigns. Write to your local MP. Do stuff that says, I want freedom from exploitation of any kind. And we, our little Davids, can defeat this huge giant of modern slavery. So I want you to invite you to enter this seemingly impossible battle. It's a fight that's fiercely on God's heart. It's a fight that he's calling us into. It's a fight that he's equipped us for, no matter how weak or small we feel. And we want children like William, like his sister, like all our children at the back there, to live in a world that is free from any kind of oppression terror and slavery. So let's pray. Almighty God, creator of the universe, we feel hopeless in the face of our world's suffering. Yet we offer back to you the only thing that we can, our ordinary everyday life. We ask you to take it into your hands, that it may be used to bring even a flicker of justice in your world, a candle for peace, not just today, Lord, but through the coming days, as we move in your spirit and in your strength and in your love. Amen.